final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this rainy Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. This time, every week, we bring in Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet 32 Thoughts Podcast. He now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Barry Trotz and company will be in town for a little matinee hockey on Saturday. We'll get to that in just a bit. Right now, Joel Quenneville and the league, or the commissioner, are currently having a meeting. How do you think that's going to play out, and what do you think's going on there?
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. I really don't. You know, and I don't think it's smart to guess about you know, these kinds of things until we have some clarity. You know, the commissioner has some different avenues that he can go through once it's over. His power allows him to suspend, fine, or ban Quenneville, but technically he can't fire him because he's a Florida Panther employee. You know, you'll remember when Bill Peters was going through his thing in Calgary, you know, the Flames handled the investigation, not the league. This particular time, the league is meeting with Quenneville. You know, I mean, he could do nothing, but under these circumstances, it's kind of hard to see that. What do I think is going on in there? You know, it's purely a guess, but if you read the report into what happened with the Blackhawks, there's a section in there where they talk about the meeting that they first had. I think it was May 23rd, 2010, to discuss what they were learning, what was going on. And it's pretty clear in the investigator's report, there were a lot of different recollections and comments about what happened in that meeting. And what I'm betting is that Joel Quenneville will tell the league what he recalls from that meeting and why it doesn't mean that he should have the same fate as some of the people who are already in that meeting and have been punished.
Yeah. We said earlier, we were discussing this in the first hour of the show, that Joe Quenneville not talking and kind of the way he's approached us has not been a good look, that's for sure. And right now, if I'm just being honest, it's hard to believe him that, you know, because right now we've got differing stories, right? Kyle Beach, we've seen the interview now at this point, and what he said, and like you said, the report is out. It's hard to believe that Quenneville didn't know. We really were all over the place on trying to figure out how the league should handle it. What's interesting that I do think, it's just my two cents and my thoughts that could play into this, is also people are not, you know, happy with the part, and there's parties involved are not happy with how the league is handled. So right now, kind of, there's a side stare on the commissioner and the league. Certainly the PA is in question on their whole role in all this, but that could play a factor in Joel Quenneville. Do you agree or disagree on the league part?
It could be, you know, it could be. I find it very hard to predict what could happen here. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think, you know, when the report came out on Tuesday, you know, those were words on a computer screen, and they were very hard to read. There were certain things I was expecting, and there were certain things I was not expecting that were very difficult to read. It was just a very hard day. But like I said, those were words on a computer screen. And then when you watch the interview with Kyle Beach last night and you see the facial expressions, the emotions, the anguish that comes with it, it takes it to a whole other level. And I just think that, I think there was a lot of talk about what we wanted to see happen after Tuesday. And I think there was even more of it with the emotion of Wednesday night. And, I think that, you know, one of the things that's definitely going to be a conversation here, guys, is what exactly was said in that meeting. Because it's clear to me from reading the report that some people in that room felt that all the details as we now know them weren't there. So what does that mean? Is that acceptable? Should more have been done? And I think those are going to be the questions that are really going to be paramount when he talks to Quenneville today and Kevin Cheveldayoff on Monday.
As you alluded to, Elliot, and we've all watched the interview with Rick Westhead of TSN. What did you think overall of Kyle Beach in that interview? What did you make of the interview? It was hard to watch at times, but how did you think
really
he handled it?
Watch.
You know, I mean, he's got to relive that. He's drudging up, you know, something from 11 years ago that he's been dealing with, a painful part of his past. And how did you think he handled that interview?
Well, I think he did unbelievable. I don't know anybody who would have anything bad to say about him and the way he did it. You know,
he could have gone scorched earth, you know, and he didn't. I mean, he could have really, like, that's what's impressed me the most is he could have gone scorched earth, and I thought he handled himself unbelievably.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about scorched earth, but I think that, you know, definitely, you know, I think everybody watching that understands the pain that he was going through. And I think there were different things in that, both the report and the interview yesterday that strike people in different ways. Like, you know, one of the things that really bothered me about the report, a detail I didn't know before I read it, was that there was another intern that was assaulted after, you know, between the time that they had the meeting and between the time that he left the Blackhawks. And that really bothered me. And listening to Beach last night, you know, when he talked about his mother, that really affected me. When he talked about how when he told her, she cried for days and felt that, you know, it was her job to protect him and she should have protected him. And, you know, I'm a father. I could only imagine, you know, that hits you. And, you know, him talking about the high school student that, you know, when he went and Googled Aldrich's name and he saw what had happened with the high school student, you know, how that convinced him to go forward and how awful he felt about that. I think there were so many things in that interview last night. And when you combine them with the report on Tuesday, I think that, you know, everybody who watched it probably saw and read multiple things that really resonated with them on very deep levels.
Yeah, I think those were great ones you brought up. I thought the other one that really got me is just the fact that he just felt like nothing, right? He just felt like basically he didn't matter, like he was nothing. That's no human being should ever feel like that, right? Like they, like literally, like
yes.
They don't even matter.
Well, you're referring to that. You know, after it happened, Aldrich was there to celebrate the win with the Stanley Cup and things like that. I mean, to me, the fact that he still got a day with the Stanley Cup and he was at the ring ceremony the next year, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, you know, one of the things I've been talking a lot about in the aftermath of this, because I've been talking about it with people, is, you know, you think about the meeting that happened when it was first brought up that, you know, that something had occurred. And, you know, I've had people say to me, well, and I think on some level we can all identify with it, when you're the junior person in a meeting or someone's more powerful in the meeting and, you know, they say, we're handling it this way, and you feel and you go along with it because you don't, on that particular day, you decide not to battle, even if you disagree. Or, you know, you think you're not someone who has as much power as this person, so you just go along with it because you don't think you can change anything. And, you know, I think a lot of people understand that kind of a power dynamic. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this understand that. But what this tells us is it's not acceptable. And, you know, people who were not in that highest position of power in that meeting lost their jobs because of this. And it's possible that more will. And, I think for me, that's one of the biggest storylines you take out of this is no longer is it acceptable to say, oh, well, I wasn't the most powerful person in that meeting. Now it's said, well, you know what? You were in there, and you knew, and it was you, the onus is on you to do something.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. 32 Thoughts is the podcast and the blog. And Elliot, I watched Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. I actually also watched Duncan Keith earlier before you knew who the player was. At least he wasn't aware at the time. All three of them said that they didn't know what was going on until the following training camp, which is, I think, a little different than what was presented in the reporting of it. And certainly, I think, if I got what Kyle Beach was saying, that's not his recollection of it. But so two sides of the story there.
Yeah, there are, I don't know if contradictions is the right word, but there are things in the report that are kind of, he points out that the investigator, I'm saying, is that, you know, there's differing opinions, and he makes sure to point out that this was a long time ago, so different people have different memories. But I think that it's very clear that something happened here that wasn't right, and the procedure for taking care of it wasn't right. And, you know, I think watching his interview only gave more credence to everything he had to say, or everything that was in favor of him in the report. You know, I don't see a lot of people disputing a lot of things right now. And, you know, I just think that, you know, if you take a look at the conclusion, it's very clear that they feel that the investigator felt there was a failure to report. And if you look at the NHL statement when it announced the fine, and that the four individuals who have already been who are out of the NHL, they have to apply basically for reinstatement to get back in, it was for failure to report. And whatever anybody thinks about what happened, there's no question here that proper reporting guidelines were not followed.
Elliot, you and Jeff often talk about, you know, how things are presented, how organizations handle things in the media from a PR standpoint. Some, I thought, I was a little disappointed once that interview was out. As you mentioned before, it was such a, you know, 25 minutes of gut-wrenching emotion. Like you said, it changed everything. It just magnified everything. I thought it was the wrong thing to do for the Blackhawks to send Kane and Toews out there, and neither of them had seen the interview at the time. That made it really tough for them, I thought, to show the kind of empathy that I think they probably would have had they watched it. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair. I think also, you know, the other thing that surprised me a little bit with them is that, you know, look, like, they might have a different opinion of the people who ran the Blackhawks organization than obviously a lot of us do right now. But you have to have a better answer than what they gave. I mean, you can say that, you know, I saw, like, you could say I saw other sides of them, but this is about Kyle Beach, and he went through a terrible thing, and right, we have to support him, and there are consequences for that. You know, I think that, you know, this is, you know, like, I think in that moment, like, obviously, especially Kane, knew, who wasn't even playing last night, he knew he was coming on, and I was just kind of surprised that, you know, the message wasn't more clear than that.
Yes.
That, you know, when they asked him about Stan Bowman and Al MacIsaac, who those guys have known for a long time, you can say that, you know, this, you should be prepared to say that this night is about Kyle Beach, and this is about Kyle Beach, and we stand and support him, and we understand that there are consequences. You have to have a better response, I think.
I think I would agree. Elliot, we've watched as a younger franchise, a younger market in Nashville, when the team first came in, the Blackhawks as an organization were sort of in disarray. They didn't have much direction. Then we watched them become this giant and probably the number one rival of the Predators. When you think about some of these great battles they've had in the playoffs. You know, all this is in the back of all of our minds from where we sit here. And now you look forward at where is the organization going for the Blackhawks here. It's really an interesting roller coaster ride when you look at it, because the future looks really uncertain, and how they handle this is going to be really important.
Yes, there's no question about that. I think that, yes, I thought Pat Foley had a really powerful intro to their game last night. I don't know if you've seen it, but he made a statement at the beginning of their telecast, which I thought was really well handled. But you're right. Like I look at them right now, and what it's almost like you have to hire two different people to run your organization. Number one is you have to hire your hockey person to, you know, make the trades. And I mean, because the team right now, they're off to an awful start. They haven't won yet. So you're going to have to make some very big hockey decisions. But number two, the other thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to rebuild the trust of the organization. Like the brand is tarnished right now. And you're going to need to hire someone like Ed Olczyk is the name that's coming up a lot, because he's a Chicago guy, whose job is basically to rebuild the trust between the organization and the fan base. And, you know, I think that's more important than the on-ice product right now. You know, I don't know if you guys remember this, but, you know, before the Blackhawks and the Kane and Taves era, they were one of the most backward NHL franchises.
Oh, yeah.
There was no local TV of their games, and they built something spectacular out of, like I said, the most backward team in the league. And, you know, in some ways, they're in that direction again now. It's obviously not the same, but it's very severe, and this is a big, big job, no question about it. But, you know, the one thing I get the sense is I think there's a lot of people who would like the job because they think the Blackhawks will do a lot to make sure that they try to do the right things.
Talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. And Elliot, I do want to ask about some other things going on in the NHL. Jack Eichel continues to be a question, but maybe it feels like it's close to something happening. What's kind of the latest with that?
I you know, it's his birthday today, and you know, a great birthday gift for him would definitely be some closure here. I do think that things are heating up on that one, and we'll see where it goes.
Why do teams, like, in situations like this, drag stuff like this out? He doesn't want to be there. It's clear that the divorce is coming, and it just feels like it makes it awkward for everybody.
Well, I think the whole medical situation here has made it more challenging. For a long time, the Sabres were very restrictive on the type of medical information you could get on him. And because, you know, they were talking about a spinal fusion, well, initially the Sabres felt that maybe he could rest and get better. But when, you know, that clearly changed, and then they were talking about a spinal fusion, and, you know, the player was talking about a surgery that no NHL or active NHL player has ever done before, I think it made the whole thing much more challenging. And then finally, the Sabres got into a place where they were letting people see medical records, and I think there were some teams that were okay with what Eichel wanted to do, but some teams that weren't, but they had to do their own research. And I think the other thing, too, that's a big part of this is that it really went sideways between Sabres ownership and Eichel. Like, he was supposed to be their standard bearer. The Pegulas, who own the Sabres, were very big into U.S. hockey. You know, he's a big U.S. hockey star. He was going to lead them into a new era, and it didn't work. And as a result, the feelings were very hard, and I think that affected the entire situation.
Well, Elliot, I know this last 24, 48 hours, knowing that this has been going on here, has been a whirlwind. Thank you for carving out the time with us. We always enjoy your insight here. We'll be curious to see what transpires here over the next few days, and and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. More coming, of course. He'll be all over it, you can bet. Yeah, he said one thing we didn't get to that he reported on, they sent out a memo to all 32 teams basically saying, you know what, if anything like this happens, not only are you supposed to report it, you are obligated, you must report it. Just emphasizing what would seem to be painfully obvious, but was not 11 years ago. So, Elliot Friedman every Thursday at 1 o'clock. We'll be back right after this with more on Darren, Donick, and Chase.